So pizza gets all the love for being one of those foods that everyone can agree on. Same with tacos or burgers, all for the same reason. It's kind of hard to mess up. Or maybe it's better to say there are so many different varieties and ways to mix it up, there's some kind of version that works for everybody. I'm here today to humbly present chili for your consideration to be added to that list. Increasingly, white meat or even vegetarian options means it's not just for carnivores. You can pour it atop a hot dog on a bowl of macaroni, let it cook all day in the kitchen, and eat the leftovers for the rest of the week for lunch. It's a staple food when it gets cold out, which here in St. Louis, it's getting cold out. According to the presumed experts at NationalChiliDay.com, most historians agree that the earliest recorded chili recipe came from a man named J.C. Clopper, who lived near Houston, Texas, but described a particular food he encountered during his visit to San Antonio in 1828. Here's his quote: "When they," meaning the poor families of San Antonio, "have to lay for their meat in the market, a very little is made to suffice for the family. It is generally cut into a kind of hash with nearly as many peppers as there are pieces of meat. This is all stewed together." Makes sense, right? Now, it doesn't say chili, doesn't use the word, but it sure sounds like it. They say in the 1880s, the San Antonio market started setting up chili stands. Bowls of Red, it was called, costing 10 cents and coming with some bread and a glass of water. It picked up the name Chili Con Carne, and those chili stands became a tourist foodie attraction. Today, chili is the state food of Texas. While many of the chili parlors that popped up around the West by the 1920s aren't around anymore, it's been said that these were the type of restaurants that kept people alive during the Great Depression. Chili is cheap. The crackers on top were free. And instead of chili parlors, we have our home kitchens today. Slow cookers and big industrial-sized pots full of the stuff we can make and bring to the tailgate, the office party, the competition. Chili might be kind of hard to mess up, but it is special when you find something really good. And that's exactly what you should find when you host a chili cook-off with chefs from St. Louis's top restaurants, which is why we're here today. Today on Abby Eats St. Louis, we are talking chili with Victoria Palin of Pastoria Deli and Wine, Andrew Simon from Edera Italian Eatery, and Jason Tilford from Mission Taco Joint. They're three of the folks who will be at the Full Moon Festival at Schlafly Bottle Works this weekend, serving up their creations special for this event. But first, I gathered them for a virtual chili roundtable, if you will, to dish on all things spicy, savory, and chunky. Here's our chat.
My name is Andrew Simon, the chef at Edera Italian Eatery at 48 Maryland Plaza.
Hi, I'm Victoria Palin, chef here at Pastoria Deli and Wine.
Hi, I'm Jason Tilford with Mission Taco Joint, multiple locations, offices in Webster Groves.
When we're talking about chili, first off, because these are not necessarily three restaurants where I would say, hey, chili is definitely on the menu or anything like that. So tell me a little bit about how, I guess, you're approaching your chili recipe for this particular event.
For sure. I can start. I know Chris and myself are approaching it in a more traditional way, but you know, I love that chili is going to be the focus here because it's such a versatile meal. So we're going to go on traditional with a little bit of a twist for our chili.
So what does that mean?
So for our chili, we're going to have your typical like spicy, sweet, smoky, but we're also adding a little bit of a sour element. And for the sweetness, we're using butternut squash.
Interesting. Okay. So a little bit different, a little bit of a twist there.
Definitely. We're just kind of looking for something that everybody can be, it's approachable, it's familiar, but it's also unique.
Yeah.
So you know, the question, you know, what you just said too as well is that after we got inside this chili cook-off, you know, do Italians really eat chili? And so it can be, but, you know, kind of like we said before is that, you know, starting with the basics and kind of, you know, going outside the box a little more, obviously trying to bring those Italian flavors and flares inside the chili without losing, the actual idea of what a chili is. And so, you know, what we're doing is we're doing, you know, how can I say this, two ingredients that we're using for our chili would be almost like preserved lime, and we're going to be using Nadusia. So it's kind of a little different, but at the same time, as our game is to stay on topic. So when someone eats it, it actually tastes and thinks of chili and not so much of something else. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cause how is it difficult then to kind of figure out a way to do it and make it your own and fit in with these Italian flavors, but also make it still by definition chili?
Yeah. I mean, it can be tough. I mean, we made a trial run yesterday, and I was actually surprised at actually thinking of the flavors we were using might go off course, but it actually meld well and be actually chili. And so just staying with the basic steps, you should kind of churn out as a somewhat of a good chili.
And Jason, I'd be interested in what you guys are doing because, you know, of course there is that like Mexican flair that is chili. So what are you guys doing for yours?
Yeah, so we actually did a recipe where we actually won this competition like 8 years in a row, more traditional. And I got with the guys and we were trying to figure out if we're going to do that one again. And they all said, no, let's do something new. So we're doing something new. We're going to do like a chili verde, like a kind of a New Mexican style dish. It's with chicken instead of pork, though. And it's going to have chicken stock, roasted tomatillos, white beans, some epazote. It's got a little tang. It's we made a test batch today actually for lunch. And it turned out really good, but yeah, definitely a not traditional chili. So chili with an E instead of an I at the end.
With all of you guys, you're food people. I mean, you don't have to be a food person though to just try your hand at chili. And I think that's one of the things that's interesting about it for so many people is you know what your basics are, you know what you're cracking open cans of or you're putting the meat in and things like that. But then it can get a little funky. People experiment all the time with everything from mustard to beer to everything in between. So tell me a little bit about how you all go about adventuring and figuring out what's going to go into a chili, whether you're cooking for the restaurant, for other people, or just for yourselves at home.
So typically whenever I'm making chili at home for my friends, the first thing I do is I like to look in my fridge and see what ingredient can I use that maybe something that I'm going to be throwing out soon. It's a really good way to reduce waste in my home. So I start from there and kind of build my recipe, whether I'm going to go with a more traditional route as far as spices, or if I'm going to play a little bit more and maybe add in some different kind of peppers or a different kind of dried bean or different kind of ground meat. So it's really great to just kind of, I'd like to just start with like what's in my fridge, what can go in the pot, what's going to go well together and go from there.
I love that, especially as a way to reduce food waste. And, you know, so often too, those things just tend to go together. And if you only have a small handful, it can work in a chili, whereas it might not work in other recipes, for example. So,
right. Yeah, exactly. And it gives you a little bit better of a plan, kind of allows you to, I think chili is really forgiving and where you may be able to make a mistake and adjust. So it's really good, I think, too, for beginners to kind of play around flavors, different kinds of fusions and things like that.
How about you, Jason?
I mean, I think making chili is fun because it kind of, you know, we all have our ingredients we initially grab and just, you know, gravitate towards. But then with the amount of ingredients that end up in it, usually it's like a balance game to get like, you know, let's add this ingredient, but I don't want to taste it too much. Like get it right to where you can taste it and that's it. And then you have like, you know, 15, 20 ingredients in it and you're all of a sudden like, man, it just all blends together. And then you let it sit for a little bit and then.
Definitely the balance game of making sure you have that salty, sweet, spicy, you know, acidic, the whole nine yards. And so in chilies, it opens up more after it cooks for a period of time. So I just want to agree with Tori and Chris, what they both said about balancing and what you have in your fridge. And so I kudos to those two for their actual chili baking.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'll ask you this then, because I'm thinking back about a time where my mother, who's not a great cook at all, made this really good batch of chili and we were all really excited about it. But of course you run into that issue, which is, can you make it again? Because so much of it is just blending things together. Mm-hmm. And of course she couldn't. So how do you go from that kind of research and development process in a recipe, just trying to see what works, to then being able to scale it up and bring it to a competition like this, Andrew?
That's a good question because we made a batch last night, tried it. It was decent. We obviously made improvements, but you know, we didn't really write recipes down. We just kind of know what the steps and processes we did. It's kind of tough. And I think it fluctuates too, is how big of a batch you're making. If you're making a small batch for yourself, or you're making for five or six people. So with that being said, you know, I think you have to stick with, when I say basics, not so much of basics of how just making a basic chili, but the basic steps of, you know, when you cook off your meats and you bring them out, you render down your, you know, you sweat down your aromatics and your, all your good stuff, and bringing your proper flavors of what kind of stock you're using. And if you're adding ass and stuff like that. So, you know, it's I guess it maybe didn't really answer the question, but I guess it's just basically going back to the feel of when you made your first chili and just sticking with the steps and the procedures you've done. So how can I say this? Myself, we'll make recipes. We do recipes for everything for the restaurant for the most part. But two is that sometimes when you're just cooking chili, it's mostly with love. It's just with love and flavor. And so a recipe might not really do the justice of the actual cooking yourself.
I'm seeing a lot of nodding in agreement. So it sounds like you guys both, Jason and Victoria, have a similar process and method to go about with all this.
I mean, just like Victoria said, forgiveness. It's you're simmering this beautiful, this pot of goodness, just simmering it down to, you know, expel all the flavors of what you've done or whatnot. So that there can be a lot of tweaking and fixing, you know, just because it's spicy one time might be able to muddle that down and be able to make that more balanced. So it's just all depends. So like you said before, chili is very forgiving.
I think one thing you say, instead of a recipe, it's more like an ingredient list, you know. This is our ingredient list right here for the chili. There's no numbers by any of us.
I was gonna say, should I screenshot that?
Some method stuff, how we cook the chicken, made the stock, and then just stuff we're throwing in it. But there's no numbers, there's no measurements. It's just how much looks right, balance it out.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I know our recipe isn't necessarily written down with numbers either. We definitely just have our steps and processes done because we're using fresh local chilies. The spiciness level is different from harvest to harvest. Yeah. So it's all about tasting and making sure that it's as close to the original batch that we've all agreed upon and tested.
Writing down recipes does get very boring of following duplicate the same things. And just because you don't follow that one recipe, you actually might find a better outlet of doing something different. So you might follow the same ingredients, but you might add a little more of this, a little more that this time. And you actually might find a better outlet of, or better quality of the product, or better flavor when you're actually doing something different. So it's sometimes it's always a bad thing when you don't have a recipe.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I think that's one thing that a lot of chefs share, is a good gut instinct when it comes to flavors.
Sometimes it's easier to make a big batch, especially with chili, because it's just like, you know, you're just constantly adding stuff to it. So it's kind of interesting that it is hard though with salt, because you're adding so much salt because it's such a big batch. Like, there's been times where I said, hey, dude, I think this needs more salt, but I can't physically put it in there because I put too much in there already. I need you to put it in. It just is weird because it's like you just can't, especially when you're starting with your own stock. You know, and there's no salt in it. And it's just like, man, I feel like I put a ton of salt in this, but it needs more. It's kind of fun.
Like we said before, you know, chili is not a typical thing that's on the menu for any of you all, but it is something that it sounds like is a bit of a creative exercise. Is it that kind of an experimental for fun thing almost for you all, considering that you spend most of your days doing things that are a lot more precise, in many cases, more fine dining, or just something that you do have to be thinking a lot more about consistency? I'll just kind of throw that out there.
I would definitely say so. It's definitely the one thing I really like about being a chef is having those creative outlets, you know, whether it's doing it at home or doing it for a competition. I really enjoy the practice of doing the same thing every day for the restaurant that I work for, but having this ability to kind of shoot from the hip almost and experiment is definitely one of the main things that keeps me passionate for sure.
I think to add to what Victoria said too as well, is that my wife was always telling me is that when people are trying to tell you what to cook, it can be very difficult. And so when having a chance to experiment and doing fun things, it's almost like feeding your soul. I feel like when I come into work each day and you do the exact same thing every while, it's almost like insanity. But to a point is that when you get to play around with things, you're feeding your soul of doing these experiments. You're not just basically coming in and staring at the same cutting board, doing the exact same thing of chopping chipolines or garlic, but at the same time as you're feeding your soul when you're having these experiments. And so that's a huge thing for myself, is experimenting is feeding my soul. Mistakes are not mistakes. You're feeding your soul.
Yeah. It's inspirational. That chili is inspirational.
I mean, you know, kind of like what they said, it's just, you know, the daily routine is one thing, but it's almost like a special, you know, to come up with your recipe for the chili making it. And you know, like it is passion. It's, you know, you start with how you want it to taste in your head, and then you have to add all these ingredients to get to what you already had a picture in your head. And right. Then you just can't stop until it gets there. You know, you want to have that little bit of heat on the back of your tongue. So you got to get it in there. You want that spice and the sour at the beginning. And you just don't stop until all that stuff that you pictured is in there. It's almost like art or something. I don't know. It's fun.
No, it's art. Yeah. It's art.
Yeah. It's satisfying. Internally satisfying. Definitely. For sure.
My last question, we can kind of do a little rapid fire, and I'll start with Jason because he already was tempted to show us his whole list of ingredients here. Do you have any favorite ingredient or favorite, I don't want to call it secret ingredient because I'm asking you about it right now, but for people who are whipping up chili this weekend at home, whether it's an ingredient or a tip on something that you think maybe a lot of people don't do properly, or just, you know, your word to the wise for folks, all of us who are going to be making chili at home this cold weather season.
I mean, I don't ever use like chili powder. It's called chili powder. And I always use like different chilies to get to that chili powder, like anchos and guajillos and pasillas, chipotles. And I kind of create my own chili powder, so to speak. And it's always more Mexican, obviously, than, you know, regular chili powder in the store. So, you know, I like to use that dried chilies. It's just, for me, I love the depth of flavor and the earthiness of it. And then you can play off of that. But yeah, that's how I usually go about it. And then Mexican chocolate, it adds a little cinnamon, but it adds that sweetness and it's delicious.
So as far as a tip, I know one thing I really hate in my chili is an overcooked bean. So I try to stay away from the canned beans because most of the time it's pretty mushy for me. I like to cook my beans in some sort of stock, whether that's vegetable or chicken, to add another layer of flavor. I agree with Jason wholeheartedly here. We're not using chili powder in our chili either. We're using multiple different kinds of chilies in ours to kind of get that chili flavor. And we are just going with the ground turkey recipe. So I really like ground turkey for ours and for chili at home. That way you don't get that greasy film on the top. It's a lighter meat, so it's not quite as heavy. And then we're finishing it up with a little bit more flavor with the ricotta and chicken bouillon flavored croutons on top. Nice. So all of those things are easy to work at with home. And I think something with that's a little bit more approachable for the chili cook-off. So we're really, really excited to debut it to everybody.
I hope you guys are excited to be able to sample the stuff that you're all making, like try each other's stuff. Oh, I got to imagine that's a fun aspect of this for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. I cannot wait.
All right, so you can catch those chefs plus some others at this weekend's Schlafly's Full Moon Festival. It's an annual event that is back at the Schlafly Bottle Works. That's the Maplewood location, happening on Saturday, again, November 6th from 4 to 10 o'clock. And Dory, in the podcast now with Dory, it's exciting to be talking about events like this again.
Yes, so
And, you know, chili cook-offs, we have them all the time. But this particular one is interesting because it celebrates the Hunter's Full Moon. Mm. So it does have that kind of festival vibe. Of course, like always at Schlafly, you get the seasonal beers. They'll have roasted pigs from local farmers, bonfires, live music, and of course that chili cook-off. So the festival is free to attend. There will be food and drink available for purchase, and you can purchase a chili cook-off ticket to receive samples of all five of those chili recipes, and then you get to cast a ballot for your favorite. So along with Victoria and Chris from Pastaria, you'll have Ty Davis from Hungry Planet, which is interesting. They'll have a meatless option there. Andrew from Edera, which he pronounced it Edera, so I'm like, okay, that's how we pronounce it now. Perfect.
Now we know.
Yeah, Jason from Mission Taco and Christian from Taco Circus. So I'll be really excited to see how the Mission Taco versus Taco Circus chilies do. So pretty interesting there. And we also have another chili cook-off happen. If you just like really want to stuff yourself with chili this weekend, we'll have another one to tell you about in the weekend planner in just a few minutes. But first, Dory, we got some food news to go through. And this is a short but sweet, literally, happy
food news roundup.
Yes, love to bring the happy news to you all. So if you remember last week, we did lead off with some bad news with Taste by Niche closing in the Central West End. Well, this week we've got an opening. Bowood by Niche is coming to the Central West End. Gerard Kraft plans to open this new restaurant inside the Bowood Farms Home and Garden Shop this week. It's moving into the space that was vacated by Cafe Osage a whole year ago.
Wow, yeah.
They're going to start with breakfast, brunch, and lunch with a focus on salads, sandwiches, and vegetarian options. They're planning to expand to dinner, probably early next year.
That place, just take all my money. I mean, my goodness, especially for this time of year too, because it'll be a great reason to bring people back into the garden center. Love their selection of plants, but also great gifts. They have the Shop Holiday right across the street, which is a good place to go shopping. So you can do a little bit of all of that and get some good food again, mm-hmm. finally, because it'll be nice to see that restaurant space up and going again.
And a little rebound for Joy Craft. So
exactly.
Good to hear. Well, how about this next one? I think you're excited about it.
I am.
I think we all are. Clementine's is rolling out a flavor with Andy Cohen. Talk about a big St. Louis collab, right? So they're partnering with the St. Louis native for a holiday-inspired ice cream flavor, Peppermint Andy.
Cute.
Super cute. It's a peppermint chocolate flavor that also, like, while that sounds really good,
mm-hmm.
it also benefits a great organization. They're going to work with donating money to the local nonprofit Doorways, which provides housing and support services for people who are affected by HIV and AIDS.
Cool.
Very nice partnership there. Cohen said that he loves supporting them any chance he gets, and that his mom has been involved with them since he came out in 1989.
Oh, the warm fuzzies, doing good stuff. You gotta love Andy Cohen. Like, yeah. I haven't watched The Real Housewives in years, but like, I just love how he stands up for St. Louis so often, and he's just such a like happy dude, and brings positivity in mm-hmm. the conversation about St. Louis. And I bet you Peppermint Andy is gonna be a really delicious flavor too, because I have yet to try anything from Clementine's that wasn't
exactly
just good and a little different, too.
Yes.
Even if peppermint's not normally your thing.
Mm-hmm. Perfect for the holidays. Imagine putting that in some hot cocoa.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Dora.
Yes.
Wow.
We're vibing.
Well, let's see if we're vibing on the best things we've had to eat this week. What direction are you taking this?
All right. Well, I'm taking us out of St. Louis for this one a little bit.
Okay,
so,
fair.
My husband and I ordered, we get a taste for Baltimore, obviously.
Yes,
a lot,
you do.
Our old home. We ordered a whole pack of crab-related food things from our favorite crab cake place in Baltimore. So Jimmy's Famous Seafood. The variety pack had, obviously, crab cakes, which were amazing, a couple different soups that were great, and a crab dip, which was fantastic. But this time, I also added in dessert, which I did not do the last time. A nice big old Smith Island cake.
What's that?
So you haven't heard of that. It's a tall cake. It's about maybe 8 inches tall or so.
Okay.
It has seven layers in it.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
And they delivered that to
you? They delivered it.
Wow.
So they're really thin layers, super thin, maybe like a couple centimeters. I don't know. But it's a yellow cake with chocolate icing
Ooh.
All the way up. And it's so
good.
Like
between the layers
between
too?
Between each layer.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It was so moist and I don't want to say juicy for a cake, but it was just so flavorful and good. And we still have like one tiny little piece left in the fridge, and it's been tempting me.
You're doing that thing mm-hmm. where you are already anticipating the sadness you'll feel when it's gone. So mm-hmm. you're trying to like, just
extend
don't do
it.
The thing that I do, which is then not eat it and it goes bad.
And it goes bad.
You got to take it. And it's called a
Smith
cake?
Island cake.
Smith Island cake. Is Smith Island a place?
It is a place in Maryland. Huh. And that's where they're famous. And it's a big thing out there on the East Coast.
Maybe you need to talk to Tamara about getting a Smith Island cake ice cream flavor
Ooh.
At Clementine's.
Ooh. Okay, we'll get on it.
We know people.
Yeah.
Mine is a very much different direction then, because I'm keeping it as St. Louis as it gets. So, and it also happens to be germane to this episode because we made chili this weekend.
Nice.
And it was ahead of the Central West End Halloween festivities. I had my whole family over ahead of the dog parade. Mm-hmm. And I've got to mention this in here.
Please.
The dogs won the costume contest. Yes, I'm so excited. I'm still not over it.
I'm so proud.
I'm still not over it. So I don't remember if I said what they were going to be on the
not
episode
on the,
last week.
Not
okay.
on the podcast.
So they were Dogecoins. Mm-hmm. And so if you are familiar with the Bitcoin craze of, I believe, the summertime, it was the one that Elon Musk kind of got into, and everybody mm-hmm. was really excited when he hosted SNL that Dogecoin was going to take off. And Doge is this meme of the Shiba Inu dog who's kind of casting like a sidelong glance, yeah. like skeptical. So people either, and I just, you know, we made Dogecoins to like hang off the dogs, mm-hmm. and people either understood it or they did not. They understood it and were laughing. Or we're like, what is your dog? But luckily the judges won because they are the funniest dogs in St. Louis. Not funniest costume. They are the funniest dogs in St. Louis.
I believe that.
Yeah. They're great comedic timing. Me and Ronnie have excellent physical comedy. What else? They're very witty.
Witty. So. Yes, exactly.
Anyway, before all of that, made a big batch of chili. Used some of the tips we got from that panel, by the way, just now, adding the fresh peppers and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really like made it for me was last week at work, they gave us some fun treats from Old Vienna, mm-hmm. and I used the red hot corn chips on top of the chili. Oh. And so they're basically like the ones that are like Fritos, but red hot Riblets Fritos, mm-hmm. and that on top of chili is a game changer, and I never want to eat chili without it on top again.
That's
like a
brilliant.
Big handful. Oh, so good. With some onion, fresh chopped onions, a little cheese, and then just a bunch of those. Mm.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, or like a walking taco with that.
Yes.
Yeah, these would be really good. So really, the chili was the vehicle, but the Red Hot Riblets corn chips. The Red Hot corn chips, I guess, as they're technically called, from Old Vienna.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hadn't had them in a while, and man, they were good. And
nice.
The bag is very much gone already. So really good. Okay, so this weekend, we are talking about the first full weekend of November. The first weekend of November. Yeah, actually, November 5th through 7th. And just because it's cooling off a little bit, the events around St. Louis are not. So we've got some fun things to let you guys know about, including the last peak of fall foliage, according to our meteorologist. Right, Dory?
Yes. So, yeah, this should be the last time you can get out there and really enjoy those fall colors. A great way to do that is by going to Tower Grove and their farmers market this Saturday. It's going to be their last regular season market of the year in the park. So a little bit of a catch with that. They're going to have a couple other farmers markets on the calendar the rest of this month. But they're going to be a little bit different and mm-hmm. in different locations. So head on out to Tower Grove from 8 to 12:30 Saturday. You can just take in all of those seasonal things, get some fresh food for chili, and just really enjoy the fall foliage out there.
That sounds a really good way to start your weekend. And then you can keep it going with the Cherokee Street Jazz Crawl. This is always a fun event. I just like seeing that this happens in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. The Jazz Crawl on Cherokee Street is back for its 9th year. It's a day-long thing, so you can come by whenever, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Local music, different dance styles will take place inside of some of those amazing bars along Cherokee Street, the restaurants, their shops. If you haven't been around Cherokee for a while, it's worth a visit, and this is a great excuse to do that and listen to some good music as well.
And then for your plans Saturday night, we've got Laumeier After Dark. The Sculpture Park is staying open until 10 p.m., so you can see what all of those works of art look like at night. The free event starts at 4, and it features a scavenger hunt, an art installation, live music, fire pits, food vendors, a night market, and a lot more. A couple notes on this one. Pets are not allowed, and they're recommending you bring flashlights.
That I don't think I've ever heard of an event that recommends bringing flashlights.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
What about headlamps? I have a headlamp I like to use.
That's intense, but probably good.
Yeah, I won't bring my tent. Don't worry. also, as a reminder, Schlafly's Full Moon Festival with that chili cook-off and so much more is happening on Saturday. If that's just not enough, though, and you need to keep it going, or if you're not available, you want to, you know, Saturday we just gave you a lot of options. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for another chili cook-off on Sunday, Alpha Brewing Company is having their 8th annual chili cook-off. This one's starting at 2:00. Tickets are required, but that one gets you all you can eat chili from 10 area bars and restaurants. Proof of vaccination is required at this one, mm-hmm. so you can just like go all in and just like dive into the chili practically in a safe COVID-friendly way. That's how it works, right?
Yes, exactly.
Just kidding. Don't take that advice. Hey, Doru, I mean, this is a lot, but there's even more in our episode notes.
We do have some fall events listed on our website that we can link to, so if you guys need something else to get going to or some food options that are kind of fall-centric, we got you covered.
I love it. It is fall in St. Louis.
Ooh la la. Ooh la la.
St. Louis is a Five on Your Side production. I'm Abby Larico.
And I'm Dori Olmos.
Special thanks to, let's see, a Lauren Shelley. I wanted to give a shout out to our friend Lauren Shelley for helping wrangle that conversation in our chili cook-off round table, if you will. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a rating and a review as well. We love to hear from you. Also on our Instagram, we're at Abby Eats St. Louis. Hit us up in our DMs. We don't mind. Have a fantastic chili weekend. C-H-I-L-I. Bundle up and seize the plate.